All right. How's it going? This is Gabe, and we are approaching the weekend. Shit, well, I mean, fuck, the weekend's already here. What the fuck am I talking about? Well, this was a really juicy week, I guess one could say, for Hollywood news. And of course, when I say Hollywood news, I only mean the shit I give a fuck about. And what we mainly talk about, I mean, yeah, we talk about movies, but if there was anything outside of movies that we would talk about, it would just be like the comic book industry. Well, not the industry, but the cinematic universes of comic book films. Well, some shit's been going on. Of course, the writer strike's still going on and everybody's freaking out. There's some news involving Blue Beetle in that, and they're already preparing to blame the writer strike for that failure, which they're making it a big thing, a big Latino thing. It's like the black peeps got to have Black Panther. The Asian peeps got to have Shang-Chi. Is that what it was called? Shang-Chi? And the Latinos are going to have Blue Beetle. Yeah, I just don't even fucking feel right, man. We just need like an original fucking character. That would be fucking great. You know, Shang-Chi, Black Panther, they got their origins tied to that character, to that name. Blue Beetle, the Latina Blue Beetle, he's the third Blue Beetle. I don't know, man. I think DC or Marvel should have just jumped on that a long time ago and said, hey, how about we give the Latin peeps something? I mean, they can't say Miles Morales because, sure, he's got that Latino last name, he's mixed race, but is he? The only time you even think, or the only time you even, you know, think to yourself, oh yeah, he's Latino, is when someone says his last name or you see his mom. Other than that, that dude is not Latino. No, they just gave him to the black peeps. Latinos are like, yeah, well, fuck off. You know, he's got a Puerto Rican mom? He's got a Puerto Rican mom. There you go. Fuck off. Be happy. Oh, man. But yeah, this is a fucking slap in the face. I think it's fucking stupid. For real. They should have just made an original fucking character. They had so much time to plan this shit. This whole diversity thing. And we got to put all these people of color in all their own movies. They had so much time to start off a comic book a long time ago. But nothing's happened. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. And they're already looking to blame the other writer strike for a potential failure, which people think it's going to be failing. I don't know. I'm not going to see the fucking movie. I don't care for it. I never gave a fuck for Blue Beetle. When he got killed off in Identity Crisis, like, what, in the 2000s? I didn't give a shit. I was like, oh, well, I don't fucking care. He's not an important character. He's a shit character. Who fucking cares? But we're going to talk a little bit more about Blue Beetle in a bit. Yeah, on the last episode, I mentioned some stuff about females in movies, action movies involving female characters. I just think the way they've been making movies with female-led, you know, action roles. Jesus Christ, what the fuck am I even saying? I got my shit all mixed up. The movies that have come out in recent years, action movies with female leads, I don't think they did well. They just didn't catch my attention. Too much political shit's been thrown in it. Too much of the fucking feminism's thrown in it. Like, I don't mind if it's a hidden message or whatever of feminism, but just thrown out into your fucking face, like, Jesus, dude, okay. I shouldn't be watching this fucking movie, obviously. I don't like that. What I do like is, like I mentioned, Red Sonja. Because here's one thing. There's always this argument of there's not enough women in action movies and blah, blah, blah. And then you get the fucking dude bros that come out, well, what about Ripley? What about Sarah Connor? And those are the only two people they fucking fall back to. They mention no other characters. What about Ripley and Sarah Connor? Every fucking time. Like, yeah, I love Ripley. I guess you could say Aliens is an action movie because it sure as fuck is not a horror. Alien is a horror movie. Aliens is not. James Cameron turned that shit into just a fucking sci-fi action. Yeah, I'm sick and tired of it just defaulting back to Ripley and Sarah Connor, which I do love these characters. I do love how Linda Hamilton played Sarah Connor, not in part one. In part one, she was just really scared and blah, blah, blah. You know, she's running away from Terminator. But not to say that she wasn't running away from the Terminator in part two, because she fucking was. She freaked out when she saw the fucking Schwarzenegger, T-800 model. But she was kicking the T-1000's ass. I mean, it wasn't doing shit, just somewhat stopping him. But she was still kicking ass. And she was more of a badass on part two. And I love that. I love how she just transformed into this character who's ready to fight this potential threat that she might run into again in the future. So she prepared for it. And everybody thinks she's fucking crazy. But I like how Sarah Connor became just a strong person. And everybody looked up to her for that. You know, she had her friends that lived out in the desert. And they respected her, man. But yeah, you know, there's more than just, what was it, Ellen Ripley and Sarah Connor? There's more than just them. And I'm going to say that, okay, Michelle Rodriguez, I do think she's a badass now. But before that, I just never thought she was. I always thought she was fucking annoying. What I say by annoying is the faces she would make. She always had this like stupid fucking face she makes. It's like a little too try hard to be tough. She if you don't know what face I'm talking about, it's the face on Resident Evil when she's already a zombie. And she's looking down, but then she looks up and she just has like, I don't want to say a snarl, but I mean, I guess. And it's just like, okay, dude, come on. Just stop fucking doing that and you'd be fucking great. Just stop. Whatever. And I don't know. She came out on some, surfer movie with, who was it? Kate Bosworth, I think. And I never really followed her. I never really cared. And yeah, I mean, I thought the first Fast and the Furious was cool. I hated it at first. It's really just a Point and Break ripoff. That's all it really is. It's Point and Break remade. Just instead of surfers, it's fucking street racers and whatever. But I never really cared. Again, I'm just going to say it again. I never really cared for Michelle Rodriguez until I saw the new Dungeons and Dragons movie, Honor Among Thieves, which I had when I first heard about it, you know, when it was in production, I wasn't too thrilled about it. Because a lot of people might hate the first Dungeons and Dragons movie, but I fucking love it. It's hilarious. It's a good action comedy. The crew, it felt like they really clicked together, man. And I really love that movie. So to me, I was like, they're going up against something that I really like. Which is, and also Jeremy Irons was fucking great. And Bruce Payne was an insane villain as always. Is that his name, Bruce Payne? I think it is. He was Jacob Kell on Highlander Endgame. Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. When I saw the trailer that got released for it, I have to admit, I was blown away. I was like, holy shit, I can't wait to see this fucking movie. I want to see it. The trailer was hilarious, and that's all I want from it, man. I want it to be just like the first Dungeons and Dragons, where it doesn't take itself serious. It's fun. It's got wizards and fucking dragons and fighting and I got that. I got that with this movie, and I wanted to go see it in the theater, but again, I mean, I barely just got the the energy to want to go to the theater again, just because I just don't like people, and working at a theater for many years got me spoiled on just being able to watch movies either alone or with just very little amounts of people spread apart from each other, because we just want to be alone and watch the movie. And I got to see it when it came out on Paramount Plus. So when I saw that it was available for streaming, I was like, oh shit, I was pretty excited. I stopped playing video games, threw on the movie. Holy shit, it blew me away. I fucking loved it. And I have to say, though, my favorite character in the movie is Simon. Is that his name? The wizard who sucks, but he's, because he just doesn't believe in himself. He's my favorite character, but for sure, if I had to say I have a second favorite character, it would be Michelle Rodriguez. For sure. So some friends and I were talking about the movie. You know, I saw it twice. I saw it once by myself, and I was like, oh my God, I gotta show it to my friends, you know, the ones who don't have Paramount Plus and never saw it. So I streamed it. We watched it. And after we were done watching it, we had a talk. And, well, actually, I saw it three times. And we had a talk, and we were like, wouldn't Gina Carano been perfect for that role instead? Now, that's what one of my friends said. He's like, wouldn't Gina Carano been perfect for that role? I think it was AG. And I said, you want to know what? She would have been great for that role that was played by Michelle Rodriguez. She would have been perfect. But I feel that Michelle was perfectly fine for it as well. And this is, I never had a change of opinion of Michelle Rodriguez throughout the years. I always felt the same. Like, she's going to make that stupid face again. Whatever. I don't care what movie she's in. But in this movie, she was great. And she's easily my second favorite character. I cried the fucking first time, of course. It's fucking predictable, but it still got me. You know, of course, it fucking got me. So what? But I mean, that's what the movie's supposed to do. You know, it's supposed to show you this great friendship that they built together. And, you know, it's about fucking friendship in the end. And I loved it. And her character was just badass. And yeah, Gina Carano would have been great. But if I could replace her with Gina Carano, I wouldn't. Because I think Michelle Rodriguez just did fucking badass. She was amazing. And I want to see her do more roles like this. I want to see her be badass again. Because, you know, here's the thing. Like, I really love the Underworld movies. Since I saw part one, I got to screen it at the movie theater. I loved it. I saw it multiple times. And part two, same thing. I seen every single Underworld and I love them all. In my opinion, the best one is part three, which is the prequel. That was such a good fucking movie. But, of course, Underworld's not for everyone, right? It's not for movie snobs. It's not going to be for the guy who quotes fucking Goodfellas or The Godfather every other day or every day. It's not going to be for the guy who has a poster of No Country for Old Men next to his Casablanca poster and talks about how Citizen Kane changed the way filmmaking, changed how films were made. It's not going to be for those people. You know who it's going to be for? It's going to be for that one guy and his family who I used to see every weekend, and he would just always ask to see these crazy over-the-top films. And the one thing I do remember from him was he came and saw The Wicker Man with Nicolas Cage. And this dude, he came by Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with his family. He had a big family, man. It was him, his wife, and like four kids. They all went to see The Wicker Man all those days. Now, on Sunday, I was like, a third time? Seriously? He's like, yo, Gabe, you seriously need to see this movie, man. And I was just like, you know what, dude? Since you love this movie so fucking much, I'll let you in for free. So I let him in for free because I think it's just paying, at the time, you know, like paying for a Nicolas Cage movie 3 days in a row, the same one, I thought was fucking ridiculous. This is before I thought Nicolas Cage was like one of the greatest ever. But no, he loved it, and I saw the fucking movie, and I was just like, this movie's fucking wacky as fuck. Maybe that's why you loved it, because it's wacky as fuck. It's over the top. He punches a fucking bear, or he doesn't punch a bear. He's wearing a bear suit and punches someone in it, which looks hilarious. That's what that movie's for. For people who love going to the movies and love being entertained. Not for people who go to fucking criticize everything. Who look for how, I don't know, say, oh, did you see Rules of Attraction? Yeah. That scene where the camera pans out and then it just merges into one shot. I'm like, dude, what? Yeah. I mean, I guess it's cool. It's like, yeah, that's what makes the movie great, man. I mean, no, it's not, dude. I mean, I really had that conversation with somebody about the Rules of Attraction. Like, the movie sucks. It does. I don't give a fuck, people, but it's related to American Psycho. How the fuck? Why should I fucking care if it's in the same universe as American Psycho? No. Underworld is for those types of people who want to just sit back and just enjoy a fucking movie. You know, the people who just are there to just see the art or whatever. I mean, because, yeah, filmmaking is art, but the fucking snobby ones sit there with their legs crossed and doing like a Steve Jobs pose with their fucking fingers to their chin or whatever. The person who wants to be entertained has a big ass fucking soda and a big ass fucking bucket of popcorn and is just like, fuck yeah, laughing at everything, going, whoa, you know, all that shit, dude. That's what that's who Underworld is for. That's who Resident Evil is for. That's who fucking Monster Hunter is for. All these crazy ass fucking movies, even the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles, or Michael Bay produced Ninja Turtles, Transformers. There's always going to be a place for these movies, or there's always going to be a target audience for these movies. That's what Dungeons and Dragons is. It's perfect for that type of person. You know, for me, I like both. I like watching movies. Well, of course, overall to be entertained, but I do have my moments where I don't want to see silly shit in a movie. But then right afterwards, I'd be like, okay, I just got done watching fucking, I don't know, No Country for Old Men. All right, let's put on fucking Encino Man or some shit. There's people who can't do both. There's people who will think Daniel Day-Lewis is the peak in performance and they'll fucking just bash the shit out of Nicolas Cage because they just hate him. I'm sorry, Augie. Come on, man. There's a place for Underworld and, well, to take it back, why I got here to the Underworld situation, of course, because of female actresses and or just female heroes. And Underworld is one of them. So before Underworld, of course, yeah, there's Terminator 2, there was Ripley, but for me, the biggest was always Red Sonja. And I loved Red Sonja so much. She was badass. She was kick-ass. Like, who the fuck would not want to be like Red Sonja? She was strong, and she wasn't easy either for fucking, what the fuck was his name, Kaladar, who was supposed to be Conan, but they couldn't get the rights to it in time. But yeah, she was a respectful woman, badass, out for fucking revenge, and she got it. And it wasn't until I saw Celine on Underworld where I thought, this is my new favorite, like, action hero right here. Like, sure, there's many action heroes, many people, like, tell you, who's your favorite action hero, though? They'll be like, oh, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Kurt Russell. What about a movie character? I don't know, people would just say, I don't know, John Matrix from Commando, right? It's pretty easy. Or John Rambo. Jeez, how many of these motherfuckers are named John? But for me, it was, ever since I saw Underworld, I really like Celine over other action heroes. Because for one, she's a vampire who hunts werewolves. She's a death dealer. I guess that's what she's called. She's like, I guess, like a little group of vampire werewolf hunters. And she's badass. Kate Beckinsale did a great job. Yeah, she's very beautiful, but I think it's more on how, aside from her beauty, she's also very intimidating. I believe so. And it's in her eyes. And I've seen interviews with her, and she's silly as fuck and does all these pranks to, like, her fucking co-stars, which is crazy. But Celine, the way she plays Celine, the way she talks, and she's very intimidating, and I do believe she's out for revenge. Man, it's been like hundreds of years that she's been on her fucking warpath, just avenging her dead family. But like I said, like, these movies, again, you just gotta throw a bunch of shit out the window. You can't take it seriously. Because apparently in Underworld, if you're a vampire, that means all your fucking aiming goes out the fucking window because you can't fucking hit anything. They're shooting at everything, and apparently they get fucking unlimited ammo because they rarely reload, and they shoot like thousands of bullets before they reload, and they barely hit any fucking werewolves. So it's like vampires study the art of stormtroopers. But what's great about Celine? If she can't hit shit, she's badass. She's not afraid of these fucking werewolves. These werewolves are fucking huge. I wouldn't say they're terrifying. I mean, they look cool. They're not the coolest looking werewolves for sure. I'd say my favorite looking werewolves are from Dog Soldiers, a British horror film, which you've never seen. You should check it out. But aside from the werewolves and Dog Soldiers, I like them because they're tall and slender and just fucking creepy looking. But aside from them, I'd say, like, my holy grail of werewolves that my favorite looking is, of course, John Landis, American Werewolf in London. It was the best werewolf of all time. It's the best ever. But Celine's not afraid of these guys. She keeps her cool. Even was it on Underworld 2? She fell to the trap door and she's in those little tunnels. And there's, like, these two werewolves just fucking rushing her. And she's just there all calm. And of course, there's going to be people that wish he's a Mary Sue and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, how many action movies have you seen where just a dude is badass and nobody questions anything? So, yeah, well, he had time to train. Yeah, yeah. You just get a montage with some silly fucking 80s music and you're like, okay, cool. There, you know, he's ready to go. I guess I'll say like, oh, like, you know, Ray's a Mary Sue and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, because when you think about it, the whole Jedi thing, it's fucking crazy, right? You got to learn how to do all this shit, how to use the Force, which, of course, doesn't sound fucking easy. To be like, well, I mean, she's Palpatine's granddaughter. I mean, but does that really do anything? I mean, fucking Anakin still had to train his ass off, and that dude's like Jesus of the Force. That dude pretty much is the Force incarnate. Like, no, fuck that. So there are some times where I got to be like, okay, somebody is a Mary Sue, whatever, but. Celine, then again, I mean, we never saw those hundreds of years of her training to become the badass death dealer she is. So, I mean, that's fine. And there, that's easily explainable, right? But she's really cool. Her costume is real simple. Just this really skin-tight, latex leather outfit. But what makes it work are those crazy blue, like ice blue eyes. Those vampiric eyes. It just makes the whole thing work. It makes it all stand out. And I'll think, yeah, it's very simple, but Jesus, it's like when you see the eyes, you're like, dude, I'm cool with this. She looks badass. That's a fucking vampire right there. You know, what I did like about the movie is, you know, for the longest time, you know, I was a big fan of Spawn. And I still love Spawn. He's one of my favorite comic book characters. And the one thing I'll always remember is growing up, reading Spawn, Daredevil, Batman, and there's always just shots of these heroes perched on a building overlooking the city, you know, ready to go kick some ass. And I think that's what pulled me in with Underworld. When it starts, she's just perched on a gargoyle when it's raining, and there's these close-ups of her face and the rain just running down her wet hair, and just you just see the droplets just running down her face. Lightning, dude, that was it for me. I was like, I'm in. She's gonna be a badass fucking anti-hero. She's gonna be kicking ass. Let's fucking go. So, Underworld. But you wanna know what? I totally hardcore sidetracked because there's some shit I want to talk about. The reason I brought up female heroes is these days they just really don't cut it. You know, the Charlie's Angels thing was fucking garbage. The Birds of Prey was really fucking garbage. I hated the way they did Huntress, though she was played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who I think is super gorgeous, but she just doesn't have that intimidating. I mean, because Huntress is a very intimidating woman in the comics. She looks like she doesn't fuck around. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, even when she was like on Scott Pilgrim, I never saw her as intimidating. I just don't. And I think she was just the wrong person to pick for Huntress. She really was. And Captain Marvel, I mean it was more like a nostalgia thing. And when I say nostalgia, I mean the fucking 90s, because I love 90s music. I grew up in the fucking 90s and it threw me back for with the soundtrack. So yeah, I like Captain Marvel because of the soundtrack. The special effects were pretty good. The end when she's flying around kicking ass in space, I thought that was a badass scene. I really liked that. I just really hate the whole retconning of Nick Fury's scar. That was fucking stupid. I hate how they changed Mar-Vell, and he's now being played by, who was it, Annette Bening? It's like, yeah, they changed a lot of stuff, especially with the whole Monica Rambeau, and I do have my complaints about that, because I still wish that if they were going to make a female Captain Marvel movie, I wanted it to be Monica Rambeau. But they didn't do that, and that pissed me off. And I still think Disney fucked over a bunch of people with that. And hey, there could have been two movies for Black Peeps, right? But no, instead they just gave him one. They gave the other one to the fucking Aryans. Because that's what fucking, what's her face is? Brie Larson. Anyways, female heroes these days. There is one, and that's Wonder Woman. So when the first Wonder Woman film came out, what was that, 2016? I want to say 2016, 2017. I'm going to look it up right now. I really need to see just to be sure. 2017. All right. So Wonder Woman came out in 2017. I remember before then, Gal Gadot. That's what I hear people call her. It looks like it's pronounced Gadot, but I guess I'll say Gadot as well. Gal Gadot came out on, Dawn of Justice, which I think is a cool fucking name, but ruined when they had to put Batman v Superman over it. So I'm just going to call it Dawn of Justice. So when Gal Gadot came out on Dawn of Justice as Wonder Woman, you know, I wasn't sold as her being Wonder Woman. But when I saw the movie, I was like, okay, let's fucking go, dude. She's Wonder Woman. I approve it. I love it. Let's go. So I was pretty excited when the first Wonder Woman was coming out. So I remember going to the draft house to watch the first Wonder Woman. And I loved it, man. That's, again, I rarely go to the movies. But I went to the theater just to see Wonder Woman. And I left fucking blown away and happy. And I was like, this is like an action star. Gal Gadot should do more action films. She needs to do more Wonder Woman films. She's an action hero, man. Then, of course, that was all ruined when fucking Wonder Woman 1984 came out. It was garbage. Though I think, what's his name? Fucking Viper. Damn it, dude. The Viper from Game of Thrones. I don't want to look it up because I know his fucking name. But, fuck it, dude. I guess I'm going to look it up. But, oh, Pedro. There you go. Pedro Pascal. He was the best part of Wonder Woman 1984. Easily, man. I gotta fast forward to, what was it? The end of last year, 2022. This is when Shazam came out. No, not Shazam, but Black Adam. And it has the end scene where Superman comes out. Everybody was happy. Like, oh, dude, Henry Cavill's coming back as Superman. This is gonna be fucking amazing. And then 2 weeks later, they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna recast Superman. And it was official. Henry Cavill, Superman's dead. No more. So we get a whole bunch of shit from James Gunn. Oh, he's going to reboot Superman and all this bullshit, right? Well, a lot of people were pretty fucking pissed, especially on Reddit and Twitter, when they were like, well, Jason Momoa is still going to be Aquaman because he's got his movie coming out. He's being recasted as something else for James Gunn's universe. But people got pretty salty when Gal Gadot announced that she's going to be a part of Wonder Woman 3. And that James Gunn and Peter Safran, that they told her that they would develop Wonder Woman 3 together. So people were pissed because people loved Henry Cavill. I thought he was fucking great as Superman. I was like, you know what? He's a perfect replacement. You know, Christopher Reeve will always be the best, but Henry Cavill, he's a good sub, man. And I loved him as Superman. Perfect Superman, just like Christopher Reeve was perfect. Well, a lot of people feel the same. A lot of people love Henry Cavill. Not just because he's a good Superman, but he's a good person. He's fucking cool. He's a nerd. He builds his own PCs. He plays PC games. You know, as a PC gamer, that was one of the coolest fucking things Henry Cavill did. Was during the interview, I guess, what was it? For Mission Impossible? No. It was during The Witcher. And they asked him, like, PlayStation or Xbox? And he looks at the dude and goes, PC. But he gives him that fucking answer, like, what the fuck's your problem? You know, hearing about he missed the call from Zack Snyder to be casted as Superman because he was busy playing World of Warcraft. This is why people love him, man. He's one of us. And we appreciate him. And we appreciate that he's okay with fans being pissy and angry over TV shows or movies not following the fucking source material. He says that fans have the right to judge shit. They have the right to be angry. Because when you think about it, how long was it? Or how long were you waiting for, I don't know, X-Men to come out? How long were you waiting for fucking, what else? Maybe Deadpool. Like, yeah, sure, Deadpool was great. I don't like the fucking X-Men movies. I was pretty disappointed with that. There's just shit that people would love to see done just the way it is in the video games. You know, like, what about Halo? Halo is a fucking mess, man. Like, dude, did the writers even play the fucking game? Which the producer and was it the producer or Halo the producer or director of Halo said they never played the fucking game. This is why you want directors like Guillermo del Toro, because he loves this shit. He loves video games. He loves comic books. You want a director like that. You want actors like Henry Cavill. Hell, even Jenna Ortega, who told the writers to rewrite shit for the Wednesday Netflix show, because she was like, this is not Wednesday. Wednesday would never wear this. So she had him rewrite stuff because it wasn't true to Wednesday. You want actors and directors to be this strict. You want them to stay, you want them to have the writer stay true to the source material, not make it their own fucking thing. Change shit because they want to add their own bullshit to it. Well, people were rightfully angry when it's announced, oh, well, we're going to keep Gal Gadot and not Henry Cavill. And people started getting, you know, people started talking. People saying, this is not fucking fair. Why the fuck would you recast Henry Cavill and reboot Superman, but keep her? Like, yeah, we love her, but we also love Henry Cavill. Why do you have to fucking get rid of him and keep her? Well, some shit came out this week. And this is from Variety. Wonder Woman 3 won't fly in the new DC universe, despite Gal Gadot teasing development plans. So, I'm going to read a little bit of this from here, from the Variety. Despite recent comments from Gal Gadot claiming DC heads James Gunn and Peter Safran told her they would develop Wonder Woman 3 together, sources with knowledge of the situation tell Variety, well, that's not the case. According to the sources, a third Wonder Woman film is not in development at DC Studios, nor do Gunn and Safran have plans at this time for any Wonder Woman project in the new DC universe, other than their previously announced Paradise Lost prequel series for Max. I really hope that the fan backlash had a part in this. I really do. I really hope that the heads at DC were looking at this and they're like, dude, we fucked up. Oh, it seems like we just keep fucking up. We need to look at social media, see what the fucking fans are saying. And I hope this told them, hey, you know what, dude? No. This Wonder Woman's not going to be in your universe, or she's not going to be in it. Not saying I am saying that. If Henry Cavill's not going to be fucking Superman, she can't be fucking Wonder Woman. It's that fucking simple. And that might be me being selfish, but hey, fuck it, dude. They're rich, right? She was the one telling us, don't worry, we're all getting through this just the same as you during COVID lockdowns. Yet she's a fucking millionaire, and we're over here poor, fucking suffering. But yeah, I need to read a little bit more of this. Gadot first suggested that Wonder Woman 3 might not be fully dead in an interview with comicbook.com. I love portraying Wonder Woman, she said. It's so close to and dear to my heart. From what I heard from James and from Peter is that we're going to develop a Wonder Woman 3 together. She goes on to say that she was invited for a meeting with them, with James Gunn and Peter Safran, and she quoted them. This is what they told her. You're in the best hands. We're going to develop Wonder Woman 3 with you. We love you as Wonder Woman. You've got nothing to worry about. So time will tell. Well, they didn't say that. She said that, so time will tell, you know. So yeah, if they're going to make this, I hope everything that comes out of DC just fucking bombs and goes down in flames. Because Henry Cavill, he was a great Superman. And Warner Brothers had to fuck that up. So yeah, fuck you, Warner Brothers, pieces of shit. You know what? We're going to speak a little bit more of a fucking... We're going to talk a little bit more of the DC stuff. Because there's, like I was mentioning at the beginning, there's a whole thing with fucking Blue Beetle. And this is from The Wrap. How Blue Beetle landed at the center of a historic strike and the Latino movement. The new superhero movie's success or failure can impact the future of BIPOC blockbuster films. Dude, just make an original Latino character, seriously. I mean, shit. Wasn't Hancock an original character? Just straight to a movie they made a fucking superhero film. Hancock had no following. It's just a movie about a superhero. And it did good. I love the fucking movie. I thought Hancock was great. Shit, even, that was that movie? The comedy with Uma Thurman? My Super Ex-Girlfriend. You know what? I'm going to throw it in there in the pile of fucking superhero movies. I saw it at the theater, and Uma Thurman was great. Yeah, she's a fucking bitch about the movie. But she's an angry superhero. I mean, of course, she got mad because she got dumped. Oh, man. I'm telling you, man, just original stuff can work. You don't need to fucking go and pick some character nobody gives a fuck about. and just be like, oh yeah, this one will do. They really need to stop that. Yeah, they're afraid that just because if this movie comes out during the strike and it fails, that it's going to hurt all BIPOC films in the future, which is pretty fucking stupid to think. I don't know why the fuck they would think that. Instead of saying BIPOC films, they need to put this, replace it with superhero films. Nobody gives a fuck about them anymore. And dude, I'll be fucking surprised if it's successful. But if it's not, I'm going to be like, oof, I'm not fucking surprised. But if it fails, SAG after are also to blame. Since the actors of the film aren't allowed to fucking do any type of promotion. Because then they'd be seen as scabs. So, yeah, I guess you can say that the writer, it would be blamed because of the writer's strike. But it'd be SAG after's fault. You know, SAG after. The guys who are behaving like the fucking Church of Scientology. You say something bad about them or their fucking rules, they're going to send fucking Fran Drescher to your house. She's going to have a word with you. Yeah, that's what the fucking Screen Actors Guild turned into. The major concern is a lack of promotion for films with marginalized casts, as writers will lead to poor performance at the box office. Yeah, like I was saying, the actors are not allowed to go and fucking talk about the film. They're not allowed. Are talk shows even a thing right now? Those writers are on strike too. So they got no talk shows to go to. If they go to a fucking convention, they can't talk about the fucking movie, even behind the scenes stuff, because they're not allowed to. This is going to be SAG's doing. And I hope the fucking movie fails. I really do. I don't want this shit representing me. Fuck, man. Latinos make up an estimated 25% of the movie-going audience. Oh, man. Well, it just needs to fail. They say Latinos would love to celebrate its cultural achievement, but fear the repercussions from the guild. Yeah, it's going to be the guild's fucking fault. I want an original character. An original Latino character. Like, if anything, I don't want this. I don't want no fucking hand-me-down. Oh, you know, they got 27 Latino groups to issue an open letter in support of Blue Beetle. Our stories are universal and need to be told. Jesus Christ. You know what's another thing that fucked it up? That big mouth fucking director too. Oh no. One of these groups that are supporting it is the Latinx House. Dude, I'll tell you right now, man. If you're a white person and you call someone Latinx, I hope they fucking slap the shit out of you. For real. The Latinx needs to fucking shut up. White people talking shit about white people oppressing people, yet they're telling us how we should fucking say shit, how we should pronounce shit. The fuck out of here, dude. That Latinx is fucking garbage. Oh no, Alliance of Latinx Executives. Get the fuck out of here, dude. Pieces of shit. Yeah, those are your fucking real bootlickers right there. Fucking stupid ass Latinx. Man, it's fucking stupid. But speaking of Blue Beetle, we need to talk about, who was this? The director. Yeah, like I was going to say, that fucking big mouth director. Soto. What is it? Angel Soto? Angel Soto? Okay. Oh, yeah. Angel Manuel Soto. Okay, dude. Yeah, that guy's got a big fucking mouth. He's a dumb piece of shit. You'll never get that guy to fucking direct anything. But he goes on to say, the unknown. He's talking about Bane. He says, Bane. You know, Batman, Bane. This is Bane represents the unknown or forgotten or brushed under the rug history of interventionism in Latin America and the Caribbean. Okay. This is fucking stupid. Well, this was posted on Twitter by Bounding Into Comics. Someone retweeted it. And Graham Nolan responded. Graham Nolan is one of the co-creators of Bane. He's the artist. He responded to this and said, well, that's a load of horse shit. No, he says, well, that's a lot of horse shit. That's what he said a couple of days ago on the 7th of August. And I'm glad he fucking said it. Because I think Soto's a fucking stupid ass. Graham Nolan follows it up with another tweet. And he says that Angel Manuel Soto is projecting. That there's too much projection in his fucking tweet. And, well, That dude, again, he's a fucking idiot. He went on a fucking deletion spree on his fucking Twitter. Started deleting all his political tweets from years ago. or in the past, I wouldn't say years, maybe years, but I know he deleted a shitload of fucking tweets. He deleted all the political ones. And remember, he pissed off the right with the Batman is a fascist quote on the trailer. He pissed them off even more, fucking trolling him on Twitter over that. Then he came crawling back saying, hey guys, I'm sorry. Please come see my movie. Which I'm pretty sure Warner Brothers told him to fucking do. Like, dude, shut the fuck up. Go make an apology. Ask him to see the fucking movie. You stupid fuck. Fucking moron. I don't like his face either. Dumb piece of shit. Fuck that guy. Oh, man. What the fuck is that I want to talk about? Oh, you want to what? That's actually going to be it for now. I actually just wanted to talk about the whole fucking Gal Gadot thing and how I'm pretty pissed off. And, well, I hope she's not in James Gunn's universe. And also the whole Blue Beetle thing. It's fucking stupid. But before I go, I also want to mention with other movies of female action heroes, if you haven't seen it, and again, movies, this movie is for people who just want to be in her fucking tane. It's called Ultraviolet. And it's got Mia Jovovich. And I think she's done a good job. I mean, I'm not a fan of the Resident Evil movies, but I do like that she kicks ass in them. Well, like I said, we need more of that. And I think her, especially on The Fifth Element, she was fucking kick-ass on The Fifth Element. And I'm willing to check out Monster Hunter. You know what? I'm going to see if I can stream it tonight. I honestly don't play the fucking Monster Hunter games. I don't care about them. But it's got Mia Jovovich, who I think is badass. So I'll check it out. I'll see what's up. But I highly recommend Ultraviolet. It's crazy. It's a cyberpunk film with vampires, but not your traditional vampires. It involves a virus that broke out in the future. The virus breaks out, fucks with a lot of people. They find a cure. Now the people who got infected they're like vampires now, pretty much. And it's insanely action-packed. The special effects are not great, but I like them. I actually do like the low-quality special effects. I remember when I was telling my bestie when I showed it to her. Like, it makes it feel like a manga come to life. Because it really feels, like, heavily anime-inspired. Especially her. Just how stylish she is. How kick-ass she is. She's able to change the color of her outfits. Like, it's fucking cool. It's a really cool imagined future, I guess. And I always thought the movie was cool. Mainly just because Mia Jovovich kicks ass. Oh yeah, she has a crazy name. It's like Violet Song Jat Sharif. Violet Song Jat Sharif, I think. Is it Violet Song? Oh, I'm going to look it up real quick. Yeah, Violet Song Jat Sharif. Mia Jovovich. So, yeah, it's a really cool fucking film. It's really hardcore action-packed. It's over the top, but again, it's very stylish. It's, you know, Catwoman was supposed to be stylish. It was directed by a director who, I think it was his first feature film, but before that he would do music videos and fashion videos. So you would expect the Catwoman with Halle Berry to be a very stylish film, but it wasn't. It sucked. This film here was directed by Kurt Wimmer. I never heard of this guy, but he wrote it and directed it. And it was a very stylish film. But of course, the budget was $30 million. It made $31.1 million at the box office. So at least they got their money back. But of course, they wouldn't want to gamble on a sequel, because technically that is a failure. Well, they made a sequel in manga form. No, wait. It was anime form. I think they made a fucking... Yeah, they made an anime sequel. And you know what? I've never seen it, so I should check that out. But speaking of low-quality movies, I've been watching a lot of low-quality shit on fucking Amazon. And hey, maybe next week I'll talk about some of them. Maybe even do like a review or two, because I've actually been enjoying these movies. But you know what? Hey, that's it for now. I hope anyone listening to this, I hope you fucking watch Ultraviolet. If you haven't, if you hate it, oh fucking well, I'm glad I wasted your time, but it's a cool, stylish movie. I love it. So, but yeah, that's it for now. Peace out.